Good morning and welcome to Inside the Huddle. Glad to be back in studio with you here on Inside the Huddle on this January 3rd, Saturday. Sam Word alongside Kyle Etherington. And like I said, we're just happy to be back in studio after a week off enjoying the holidays. And we've had a lot of fun with some holiday tournaments this week between the Rossville Hornet boys basketball team, the Hornet girls basketball team. Delphi had a great performance last night. We'll recap all of that throughout today's show and kind of get you up to date on everything that's happened over the last couple of weeks. And we'll take a minute to just kind of take a bird's eye view of where we're at in terms of conference standings, sectionals, as the girls' sectional pairing draw coming up in just a little over 3 weeks. So not super far away from playoff basketball here in Indiana on the girls' side. So we'll kind of take a look at all of that. But before we do that, welcome back, friend. You got back into the great state of Indiana about 1:30 last night.
It was a trip and a half going from 61 degrees and sunny to walking into the driveway of my house and almost falling down as well. So it was like, welcome back to Indiana.
Well, I mean, we did have a 60 degree day last week, and then you go to California and you get a bunch of rain at the Rose Bowl.
Man, it was a mud pit, but as a couple of the fine gentlemen who I got to meet out there said, we're used to the Indianapolis 500 snake pit, man. This is nothing. And then they did kind of a Dark Knight reference. They said, we were born in the mud. So it was a fun time. It was a monsoon-like weather. And, man, oh, man, I tell you, it was almost like a class reunion. It was at a IU home game.
That's what I've heard everywhere, and yes, the announcer said it, the players said it, it makes sense. When you have a team that has all this history of being the lovable loser, kind of like the Cubs of the MLB, that's what Indiana has been. They were the all-time losing program in college football history coming into this year, and the turnaround that Kurt Cignetti has brought, and just the excitement around this program, that all the IU fans were traveling out to Rose Bowl Stadium.
It was amazing to see just social media light up with so many fans traveling, so many fans singing on the planes, and so many flight attendants wishing Indiana good luck. And as you would walk around Pasadena and parts of Southern California, you could not find an Alabama hat anywhere. And as we were walking into the stadium, just the amount of people, it looked like it was Bloomington out west. It was absolutely insane. So hats off to all of our new friends from Chicago, Denver, and everywhere in between, and north and south, because people were not missing this one whatsoever. It was just a wonderful, wonderful time.
And it was a great performance by IU taking down the big dogs in Alabama 38-3. It was just a dominant performance after really the first drive from Indiana, where Alabama threw some pressure at them, and IU, Kurt Cignetti, and Fernando Mendoza just adjusted. And from then on out, it was touchdown or field goal every single drive.
Well, I think that meme of Kurt Cignetti just staring stone-faced with maybe a side eye at Alabama trying to goat them into jumping off sides on that fourth down, I think that just kind of says a lot of things about it, because myself, just from my point of view, I couldn't understand what they were doing. I thought, punt the ball, get them deep in the territory, and try to let your defense do it. But they tried to get IU to go offside. IU, just like Cignetti's face, didn't move, and you have what occurred, and then you hit Charlie deep in the end zone for a touchdown, which was right down on the end that we were at, which was just a party atmosphere and then some, and it was off to the races from there. They just never looked back. I seriously think that momentum really turned in IU's favor, and Alabama couldn't get it back.
I think it's telling when you have a team like Alabama and a team like Indiana, and on a critical fourth down, you need a yard or two. A team like Alabama, you're used to them. They're just going to pound the rock down your throat and get the 2 yards that they need. They couldn't do that against Indiana.
No.
Indiana controlled the line of scrimmage. They controlled the trenches with offensive line and defensive line. And so Alabama goes with a jet sweep, and it's obviously blown up because of Indiana's speed and physicality. But I just thought the theme that everyone's been talking about with this college football playoff has been physicality, aggression, kind of like this violence in the tackling.
Yeah.
We hear Coach Fenley talking about a lot with Clinton
run
Central.
Run people over.
Run people over. That's what they want to do. And that's what we've seen in this college football playoff. We saw it with Miami against Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it a little bit with Oregon against Texas Tech, and even more so with Indiana over Alabama. And I thought this was Fernando Mendoza's best game of his season. He just won the Heisman, and he just played his best game, I thought.
He's just like a big kid. Like, as an IU fan growing up, you have people that you look up to, and you have players that you loved watching. Alex Smith was a personal hero of mine, a running back from the early 90s, won an Oaken Bucket or two. Antoine Randall, of course, as always. James Hardy, who was 6'7". You just throw the ball up, and he'd come down with it. Played basketball, but, you know, really thought that football was his way to go. But Fernando Mendoza, you just can't not like that kid. And seeing the way that these guys react for each other when they win individual awards is something that I especially like about sports, just because of the selflessness of it. And they just, to me, seem like the island of misfit toys, where they come from so many different areas, so many different backgrounds, to accomplish this great thing. And as a lifelong IU fan who was at the Penn State game in the snow where they beat us by 30 or 40 at home, who was at the Pinstripe Bowl in New York City where the kick we thought was good but shanked off to the side, it's been just an exciting, exciting run. And hopefully our mortgage will hold out with the amount of stuff that we have been buying, because like somebody said the other day, we don't know if this will ever happen again. We don't know if this is going to happen every year, but we better take advantage of it, enjoy it while we can, because it's something special. It definitely is. And it's a shame that Notre Dame is not in it, because as we were talking off air, I think that could have been a spectacular possible matchup, not just in this round, although Oregon's going to be a fun game, but I think that could have been a spectacular possible national championship game too, if things were to work out the way they do.
Well, yeah, I was just thinking about the storylines of what it would have been in an IU versus Notre Dame game. You talk about the rematch from last year when Notre Dame kind of dominated that game. You talk about Pat Coogan, the center for IU, who transferred from Notre Dame.
Yes.
And the battle between two great young head coaches, or two great newer head coaches.
Yeah.
Cignetti a little bit older than Marcus Freeman, but those two guys, and the battle for Indiana, the rivalry kind of renewed, and what a matchup that would have been. And unfortunately, we didn't get that, and that's just how the cards fall. And so I'm hoping that we might get some of those matchups in the near future, maybe during the regular season between IU and Notre Dame. I think those would be some fun matchups.
I think that'd be a great rivalry, absolutely. But don't ask me to pick anything else the rest of the year, because somebody was saying, oh, man, we beat Oregon once, we can beat them again. And I said, do you know how difficult it is to beat a team, let alone beat them twice in 1 year? I said, and that's not an insult to Indiana. I think their coaching staff would also agree with me on that one. So it's going to be a fun game in Georgia, and I'm going to make sure that I keep a weathered eye on the horizon, because we've got a big ball game that night. We got two big ball games that night, that Friday night, the boy girl doubleheader, Delphi and Carroll.
Yep.
I mean, Oregon IU's important, but Delphi Carroll, man, that's
talk about rivalry.
That's not for blood or anything, but we talked about, you know, like Ultimate Fighting Championship stuff last time for fundraisers. Man, people need to make sure that they tune in or show up to that boy girl doubleheader in I can't even figure out my days, but less than a week's time right now. I better start figuring out what day it is, just because, you know, school's getting back.
Well, it's the week between Christmas and New Year's, and obviously we're past that, but that's the week where you don't know what day it is, what time it is, yeah, what the date is. you don't know anything, and you kind of just live for a week. So that's always a fun time. But I want to shift our focus now and talk about where we've been the last couple of weeks. We have Rossville girls basketball coach Jennifer Jacoby calling in for quarter number two. We'll talk a little bit more of the girls' side during that part of today's show. But I want to talk about the boys' tournament, the Indiana Kitchen Holiday Classic.
Oh my gosh.
Over at Delphi. Just a fantastic tournament and a fantastic run between the for the Rossville Hornets, taking down North Newton in that opening round game, 70-27, dominating all game against Winamac before their offense kind of slows down in the fourth quarter. Winamac comes all the way back to tied at 41. They go to overtime, and like the flip of a switch, Rossville's offense turns it back on, and they outscore Winamac 15-2 in that overtime period and win by 13. And then even more, the game against Taylor, just a back-and-forth game, kept it close all day long, and then Nolan Britt hits a game-winning three-pointer to take down Taylor at the buzzer, 60-59. What a game.
Yeah, it was an absolute thrill to watch that game on Hoosierland TV while riding Space Mountain. Everybody did not appreciate it, I'm sure, especially when the shot went in. But we had talked multiple times about who is going to be that third or fourth option, because I think Schomburg has really kind of established himself as a viable next option other than Tili Hahn for Rossville. And, you know, I was happy for Nolan to hit that shot, not just, you know, I'm a Rossville teacher, you know, during the day, and I work here at night and everything. So I was excited for him because he's in my U.S. history class, but I was also thrilled for him just from a sports standpoint, just because you want a kid to do well like that. You want a kid like Nolan to hit the shot, especially if he's a local kid going up against Taylor, who many of those players, their families are my neighbors. So, you know, you kind of boost your chest a little bit on those type
walking
of
out
shots.
To get the mail.
Yeah, absolutely. But one thing that I noticed that I thought was especially great, and I'm going to make sure I ask Coach Dunn and Coach Skinner about this. When the celebration occurred, they were going absolutely crazy off the court, but it looked like somebody got bumped, and Brody Skinner, in the midst of all that hoopla, he was checking on the person to make sure that they were okay because they got bumped. So, you know, if you want to talk about the type of kids we've got here in Clinton County, that's a perfect example. Big time shot. I think somebody may have gotten bumped into the stands, and I saw out of the corner of my eye on my little screen and everything that, you know, they were checking up on those people too. It was pretty cool.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
If you missed that game, you didn't have a chance to watch.
Yeah, watch it.
Go back, Hoosierland TV. It's archived. Just check out the Indiana Kitchen Holiday Classic Delphi tournament on Hoosierland TV. Check out the archive. It's a championship game. Even just watch the last 5 minutes of that game. It was just a great performance from Rossville. They were down multiple possessions. Aiden Schomburg hits a jumper and was fouled and hit the and one to even give them a chance. They made it a one-point game. Taylor knocks down one of two at the free throw line. And then Rossville, with 13 seconds left, it looks like they're going to call a timeout. Instead, they let the offense kind of run. They don't see anything. They call a timeout with 2 seconds left, and I was talking on air during the broadcast about this. I was like, we just talked to Corey Dunn not 3 weeks ago. When you have a situation like that, do you go hot hand? Do you go best player? Do you scheme something up to get anybody open? And he was like, you know, if I have a choice, I'm getting Braden Tili Hahn, for that last second shot. And talking to Nolan Britt after the game, he said, that's what he said. He said in the huddle, all right, we're going to drop a play, get either Braden Tili Hahn a shot or Aiden Schomburg, who had already hit three or four threes in the game. and both of them were just covered absolutely. And they find Nolan Britt with a hand in his face, defensive pressure all around him, able to hit a great shot. And it was a big win for the Rossville Hornets.
And it looked like he didn't get it into the traditional shooter's pocket, too. It looked like he kind of, you know, quick draw McGraw coming shooting from the hip a little bit, too. So I would venture to guess that someone is going to ask him to recreate that shot again, too. So I'm sure he'll hit it again for Nolan, but, you know, I guarantee somebody's going to ask him to do that.
And for Rossville, after beating Taylor in the Delphi Holiday Tournament Championship game, they get the reward of playing Taylor again on January 9th for their next game. And so that will be a fun game for the Rossville Hornets. Rossville moves to 8-1. And we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with quarter number two. We'll talk with Jennifer Jacoby, the Rossville Hornets, in just a second. We'll be right back. You're listening to Inside the Huddle.
You know, at Winsky Brothers, we don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take our customers seriously. Whether you're hauling scrap metal, shopping for new or used steel, or need one of our roll-off waste containers, we're here to help. Sure, we're kind of famous for that giant 70-foot truck scale, but what really matters is you, our community. I'm Jim Byers, and we're grateful for your trust, your business, and even your jokes when you stop by. From all of us at Winsky Brothers, thank you. Find us at 751 West Washington Street or online at winskybrothers.com.
At Healthy Communities of Clinton County, we are dedicated to reducing the risk factors that lead to chronic disease. At Healthy Communities, we offer general health programs like insurance navigation, healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco and vaping cessation. We help pregnant women to ensure healthy birth outcomes. We have a variety of recovery services at our Trinity Hope Center, including peer recovery coaching, support groups, and pro-social activities. To learn more on how we can help you make the healthy choice the easy choice, call 765-659-6063 or visit healthyclintoncounty.org.
Hi, Matt Wilson here. Join me every weekday morning at 6 a.m. for the Day in Genda Morning Show. I'll have news, weather, local information, and some fun features to help you start your day. Listen in for the Bozo Criminal Report, the Box from the Attic, the Daily Top 5, and the Classic Hits Salute. We will be adding more features in the coming weeks, and of course, have all your favorite classic hits. Sponsored by Day in Genda Funeral Home, they put family first. That's every weekday morning here on 96.9 AM 1570. And Boone 1027 WILO.
WILO, a friend you can depend on.
Thanks to WILO for being out here. I think it's been great for Party Line, for the fair to be highlighted on Party Line so people understand, you know, our mission, our goals out here at the fairground.
Keeping you connected to our community.
The radio station, we could not do this without all of you guys.
The radio station you've trusted through the years.
Congratulate you guys on a great senior fair. Thank you for all the hard work that everybody put into that to make that happen.
Back now on Inside the Huddle, Sam Word alongside Kyle Etherington, and we get to our first guest of today's show. It's Rossville girls basketball coach Jennifer Jacoby. Coach, how are you doing today?
Oh, living the dream. How are you?
Well, two big wins for you yesterday against North Newton and Winnemac, and you move on to the championship game of the Kitchen Classic Holiday Tournament. So just talk about the two games that you guys played yesterday and that win against Winnemac. It was a feisty Winnemac squad who really did a good job rebounding in that game, but you guys were able to go on a late run and take control of that game.
I think after Christmas, obviously, I gave them like 4 or 5 days off because I think with our volleyball team going as far as they did and so forth, they needed a break. And so after we played Carroll, I think we practiced that Monday, and they had off till Saturday. So just getting that first game, you know, getting out there, I think they all about died. So which is a good thing. You know, their lungs weren't quite back to where they were before we took the break. So I think getting out there playing, you know, North Newton's a good team. We played them last year. Just getting out and just playing. You know, you practice every day against each other and just getting to play against somebody else and take out some of your frustrations not on your own teammates is always a plus.
Absolutely, and you guys are able to move on to the championship game, and you guys have been in this spot before, finished as the runner-up last year. And you got to play a good team in Pioneer. So talk about what another chance to win this tournament means for your squad.
Well, I think it's huge. You know, I think playing Winamax, you know, they have some, obviously they could shoot the heck out of it. That one girl had 25 against this number three, and, you know, she shot it extremely well. And we did better. You know, anytime you have five players in double figures, that's huge. I mean, I don't care what size you are, girls or boys, that just spreading it around, making sure everybody's getting touches. And if everybody's scoring, that makes us just that much more dangerous. So I thought they were, well, Hank, a very good squad. I watched a bunch of games. They're physical. And we're not going to play a lot of teams here on out that are that physical, you know, before sectionals. So that was huge for us. And then coming in, you know, we watched a lot of the second game, and Pioneer's physical. They beat us up last year. So we're looking forward to it, obviously. Anytime you can play in a championship, you look forward to that. And I just hope we can follow in our boys' footsteps. But I hope it's not as close.
Yeah, the boys getting the win over Taylor and that buzzer beater from Nolan Britt. Speaking of the five players in double figures, talk about what you got from a couple of your freshmen. Adeline Farley, I thought, played a great game alongside Mallory O'Brien. Farley hit three threes in the first quarter, had double figures before the end of the first quarter. What does she bring to this team?
You know, she just continues to get better. You know, she's a big, I mean, she's played point guard all her life. And I'm trying to get her to just put her in and she can do about anything, kind of like Gorbett. You know, you can put her in, she can play inside, she can play a wing, she can play a point. And she can obviously shoot it. I mean, I think she hit, like you said, three in a row, and it's like that kind of got us going. You know, we need, any time you can bring her off the bench, and we do early, and she plays 20-some minutes a game, and that's, you know, from here on out, that's going to be her. So she brings us, she just plays hard. And she gets it. You know, her, I think your dad was a coach. You know, her family obviously has a lot of basketball knowledge with her, you know, her brother going to state with the Clinton Prairie last year. So she gets it. She likes basketball, so that's huge. And then Mallory, you know, she continues to get better. You know, like, she gets so frustrated when she misses shots, and I'm like, you're not going to make everyone. And I think she just gets better. She can see. She's starting to see the floor a lot better. You know, and I think our girls are starting to learn how she can pass. You know, go back door, she's going to hit you. You know, just simple things like that. And I think that's going to be big for us down the road. And she can handle the ball. We haven't had anybody in a while. You know, Ava had to bring it up, shoot it, rebound it last year. And this year she doesn't have to do that. We have somebody else that can, and I've thrown her to the wolves, kind of. You know, I like, this is, I need you to have the ball in your hands all the time, you know, especially against presses and so forth. So she's just been a huge catalyst for us this year. And to be a freshman, both of them to be freshmen and doing as well as they are, they continue to get better. And I'm looking forward to what they're going to do for the next 3 years.
Coach, thank you so much for joining us. I kind of consider you part of the old school guard, if you will. Ball movement, drive it in, you know, pound the rock inside, you know, very similar to what we were talking about in our first segment with football. That being said, the 3-point line, 8 3-pointers against Winamac, have you had to adjust your coaching style to kind of adhere to the use of the 3-pointer much more, not just in the college game, but also the high school game? Or has this been kind of an easy transition, especially when you got so many kids that can shoot the 3-pointer as well as your kids have more recently against Winamac?
Right. You know, that's the thing. It's been definitely, I think I've had to adapt a little bit. You know, I grew up, you drive it, you kick it, you know, you go inside out. I'm not about the one pass launch it, you know, and that's something that we're learning. I think I'm trying to teach them. I think you have got to make the defense work a little bit before you just jack it up, unless it's in transition, you know. But if we're walking it up and you one pass shot, we're not doing anything. You might hit it once in a while, but just getting them to understand what is a good 3-point shot. You know, I would rather it go inside out or drive and kick than just a one pass, or move the ball around 3 or 4 passes and then take it when you're wide open. So that's getting them to understand that and getting, and it's been difficult for me, a little bit, just because my girls, we shoot it sometimes better during games from the three than we do the two. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I mean, Gorbett can score inside, you know. They have to understand when they miss one or two, hey, go get to the foul line. Get in, get fouled, get to the foul line. And that mentality is what we're working on. We're not there yet, but we're getting there. So, you know, that's just trying to get them to understand what is a good three-point shot and maybe what isn't. Just try to work the ball a little more and not just one pass jacket.
Well,
that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that was actually going to lead to my next point, so I appreciate the segue. But last game, roughly 12 assists, give or take one or two, from your team, and roughly 16 to 17 field goals made, many of those 8 three-pointers as well. Mallory O'Brien led the team with 5 assists.
Mm-hmm.
We know that she can score. She's got a wonderful pullback dribble for a jump shot. Kind of talk about how you have not just talked with her, but also talked with the girls about the importance of getting that assist, making that great play, and that meaning just as much, if not more, than that open three-pointer or that wide-open layup that everybody sees as points in the box score at the end of a game.
Absolutely. No, I think getting, especially her, and she is extremely unselfish. So in my eyes, you know, I talked to her parents and all that, you know, probably after 2 or 3 games this whole year, and, you know, they're frustrated with her. She's not scoring. You know, she loves to pass. I'm like, she's a freshman. You know what? Let her just, she's growing. She's getting, and our girls are getting to understand what she can do. You know, she's played junior high basketball and AAU basketball. She hasn't played against juniors and seniors. It's a more physical game. And then just her understanding angles and knowing, you know, sometimes when she gets inside to go off 2 feet, and then you are able to pass and not just have to shoot it every time. And I think our girls cutting, you know, we have to do a better job of when it goes inside. You know, a lot of people are playing us zone because, you know, Gorbett's having a great year and Ava's having a great year. And Allie, the last 2 games, has been scoring it a lot better. And I think when our girls understand, if we have 5 players in double figures, if we're moving the ball and everybody's involved, that makes us extremely dangerous. And it's not just 1 or 2 people scoring. So I think getting them to understand that moving the ball and passing the ball and getting everybody opportunities is what makes us, is what's going to make us dangerous down the road, just making the extra pass and, you know, hitting the open person. And we're getting better, but we still got a little ways to go.
And you talked about this a little bit earlier in last year, having Ava Burkle, who needed to rebound the ball, needed to bring it up the floor, and was taking quite a few shots to try to keep your team in a lot of games. And this year she hasn't had to do as much, but she still has that experience to win late in a game when you guys really need a bucket, you really need someone to run the offense. Man, she does a great job of navigating the defense and getting down to the lane, and she was able to draw several fouls and get to the free throw line. And talk about the experience that she brings, that when you guys need a bucket, she can go get one.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Ava's finally being able to be Ava. She doesn't have to all the pressures of doing everything. I mean, I think she's had more than half of our games this year, she's had a double-double. And just having her on the floor, staying out of foul trouble, you know, not being as tired because she's not bringing it down the floor all the time. She knows the game. She gets it. And I think you've seen that this year. I mean, our seniors are phenomenal. I mean, whether they're coming off the bench or they don't play that much or whatever. This has just been an extremely fun group. And, you know, Ava just, you could tell she loves the game. And she wants us to be successful, and she's going to do whatever is in her power to make that happen. And I think she's done a much better job of not forcing the issue this year and, you know, letting the game come to her. And I just give that just maturity. You know, she sees, you know, obviously we're having a fairly good year this year, and she wants to be successful. This is her senior year. This is her final, you know, outing, so she wants to go out with a bang, so she's going to do whatever she needs to do to make that happen.
Fairly good year indeed. You guys are 13-1, and you've won five games in a row. You're still undefeated in conference play, so I want to talk about after tonight's game, moving forward the rest of the season. You still got a few conference games left, a few games against sectional opponents, and it's going to be some big games down the stretch, and you guys have your goals set out in front of you of winning conference, winning sectional. So talk about the last kind of month of the season and how you guys are preparing for that.
I think just making sure, you know, obviously getting through tonight, playing as well as we can and see what happens, you know, and then anytime you can, you're in a championship game of any kind of any tournament, it's a good thing because it's pressure and so forth. So, you know, getting there tonight was big. And then, you know, the rest of the year trying to close out our conference, you know, try to win. I think we play our last two games we got Tri-Central and Central. You know, that was a goal of ours this year, is to win conference. And then pray for a great draw for sectional and, you know, go from there. I don't think we're going to be as lucky this year, but, you know, you never know. With the draw, we've been fortunate the last 2 years. And, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, you want to be playing your best ball at the end of the year. And I think the last couple of years we might have peaked a little too soon. And so this year we haven't. I mean, yeah, we haven't had everybody on. Yeah, we've had five, you know, last night against Winnemac, a very, very good team. We had five kids in double figures. But, I mean, we could have six or seven on any given night. So just getting them to understand that every single person on this team is important. It's a team game. It's not an individual game. And we're getting there. And we're getting better, and we just make sure we get better every game from here on out.
And talking with coaches, it's always fun. They're always talking about, you know, getting the good draw for sectionals. And we as the media, we want the same thing, because that just makes for an even better championship game when you have the two best teams in that sectional at the end of the tournament championship game, the higher stakes. And it's always
Absolutely.
Fun to have that kind
Absolutely.
Of drama. So, Coach, we really appreciate you coming on. We'll have that game tonight against Pioneer in the championship game of the Delphi Holiday Tournament on Hoosierland TV, so make sure you tune in. Game tips off at 8 o'clock. Coach, good luck tonight. Thanks for coming on. We look forward to talking to you.
Thank you, guys, for all you do. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
That's Rossville girls basketball coach Jennifer Jacoby. We'll be right back with more from Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Healthy Communities and Winsky Brothers.
Our Bill of Rights, the Constitution, the Gettysburg Address, President Lincoln's Bixby Letter, links to all 63 national parks, Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, a Norman Rockwell tribute, state mottos for all 50 states, and much more. Hi, I'm Russ Casper, President and CEO of Casper Media. I encourage you to check out American Treasures on BooneCountyDailyNews.com and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Look for American Treasures tab at the top of your free local online daily news site. Go to Clinton County Daily News or Boone County Daily News and rediscover our precious, enduring American treasures. Our world-famous Bill of Rights tops the list. We even include some pretty cool videos. American Treasures, let me know what you think.
If you have any suggestions to add to our American Treasures collection, please reach out to Russ Casper of Casper Media at frontdesk@casperradio.com.
In these days when every dollar counts, Winsky Brothers is here to put more money back in your wallet. Whether you're coming from Lebanon, Delphi, Tipton, or beyond, Winsky's is worth your while. Winsky's offers metal recycling, industrial hauling and waste removal, new and used steel sales, and more. And at Winsky Brothers, customer service is second to none. Winsky's is fully insured with no purchase minimum to serve all customers, large and small.
Hi, I'm Jim from Winsky Brothers. We hope to see you soon at 751 West Washington Street in Frankfort, or check us out at WinskyBrothers.com or on Facebook. We appreciate your business.
At Healthy Communities of Clinton County, we are dedicated to reducing the risk factors that lead to chronic disease. At Healthy Communities, we offer general health programs like insurance navigation, healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco and vaping cessation. We help pregnant women to ensure healthy birth outcomes. We have a variety of recovery services at our Trinity Hope Center, including peer recovery coaching, support groups, and pro-social activities. To learn more on how we can help you make the healthy choice the easy choice, call 765-659-6063 or visit healthyclintoncounty.org.
Here's the WILO Skywatch weather forecast.
Your Saturday forecast, partly sunny skies with a high of 32. Tonight, mostly clear and a low of 16. Sunday, it's going to be mostly sunny with a high of 33. Monday, mostly sunny and a high of 44. That's your Skywatch weather forecast from WILO. Real-time weather radar 24/7 at Boone, Clinton, and Carroll County DailyNews.com.
Back now on Inside the Huddle, quarter number three. Inside the Huddle brought to you by Healthy Communities of Clinton County and Winsky Brothers. We thank them for their partnership with us so we can be here every Saturday morning to talk with you about local sports. And we've got more local sports action. Yesterday, the girls wrestling sectionals took place. A lot of local athletes competing, and we'll have all of the results and stuff for you on Monday on Clinton County Daily News. If you want to go back and kind of read through everything and see how all of our local girls did. But speaking of Rossville, we've been talking a lot of Rossville today. They've had a great week in sports, and again, they had a good week, good weekend with Mimi Nicholas winning the sectionals individually. She had a great performance.
Mimi, last year, I vividly remember her and a couple of her coaches remarking both on air and off air about the possibility of there not even being a girls wrestling team. And then going from that to everything she did down at the state level last year and winning a sectional and getting ready to, I believe that they're going to be at Kokomo for the regional for girls wrestling. She's off to another great start and won, but not done, if I can quote another Rossville coach, Chris Gorbett, as well. So hats off to Mimi and her coaches, but she's not done by any stretch of the imagination. And I vividly remember seeing her wrestle as a sixth grader, and one of her coaches looked at me and said, she's going to be a state champion one day. And watching her wrestle even as a little kid, I was like, yep, that she has the makings of a terrific high school athlete. So hats off to Mimi and her coaches. Great accomplishment.
Yeah, absolutely. It was just a great day for her. And some other local athletes that are moving on. Nariah Harvey from Clinton Central. She placed second today at the girls sectional, and or second yesterday at the girls sectional. She will be on to Kokomo to compete in that regional. So good to see her. She's a two-sport athlete this winter, playing both basketball and wrestling, and good to see her moving on in wrestling. And hopefully she'll be able to finish that up and join the basketball team.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's going to most certainly help in the rebounding department as well, especially with that tenacity and that fight just going after the rebound, because a lot of rebounding is just effort anymore. So, you know, congratulations to her. And I'm sure the basketball team's definitely looking forward to more rebounding and a bigger post presence too, especially.
And then boys wrestling still going on. Clinton Central did well at the Wiley Duels. They beat Seeger, they beat Mishawaka Marion, and they narrowly lost to Tri-West and lost to Lafayette Jeff. But they had a good day. Dwayne Harvey finished 4-0 on day two, and Colin Mooneyham, Caleb Jacobs both finished 3-1. So we talked about this a lot. We have a lot of great wrestlers in this area. Talk about Clinton Central and the team that they've been able to put together this year, one of their biggest teams to date. And then Rossville, of course, with all the experience and the success they've had over the last few years.
The duels that were at the Hive with all of the county schools a few weeks ago was just magic. Not just because of the energy of being in the big gym, as many of the wrestlers oftentimes will say. Where are we at? Are we in the field house? No, we're in the big gym today. And seeing that, and then seeing all of the local talent that we have on both the boys and the girls side, has just been very inspiring to watch, and a lot of really good competition. So if you get the opportunity, most certainly get out to watch these wrestlers compete, because as we were talking last year with several people on the broadcast that we had at the conference, wrestling is kind of that blue collar man's sport where a lot of the training is done in the trenches. A lot of the training is done when people aren't watching. And it's kind of like that old quote from Rocky. In order to last 3 minutes, you've got to train hard for thousands of minutes just to be able to last to compete in those wrestling meets. So if you get an opportunity, definitely check out our local kids and their abilities on the wrestling mat, because it's pretty inspiring to watch some of those matches.
And check out Rossville Hornet Wrestling on Facebook. They do a great job of sharing all about how their wrestling program is doing. And they just shared this the other day at the Newcastle Semi-State. Jacob Cole is now the number one wrestler at 175. And so we're looking forward to seeing how his season finishes up. Of course, Jacob Weaver also having a great season. And so a lot of good wrestlers in this area. And we're looking forward to seeing how those finish up.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you have got the talent that Rossville has, that's just going to make everybody better. And when you've got a person like Jacob Cole, who's going to push himself to the maximum of his effort on the wrestling mat, good things are always going to happen. And it also doesn't hurt for the Rossville alumni to come back and to wrestle against those guys as well. You know, certain people who have gone on to Purdue, or certain guests that they bring in from other Big Ten schools to come back and work out with the guys as well. So Rossville wrestling, not only hitting it on the mat, but definitely on the social media game, most certainly a job well done to them too.
Want to shift our focus again and go back to a little girls basketball. We talked with Jennifer Jacoby about her team. We mentioned they're undefeated in conference play. I want to kind of break down where the Hoosier Heartland Conference is at on the girls side. We've got plenty of time left in the boys season to kind of talk about that. But girls side, 1 month left of the regular season is the sectional pairing draw coming on January 25th. But some more games left in the Hoosier Heartland Conference right now. Rossville is in first at 5-0, Clinton Central at 3-1, and then you got a handful of teams at 2-1 that have really not hit the bulk of their conference schedule yet. That's the interesting part about basketball schedules, is some teams play a bulk of their conference schedule at the beginning of the season, some teams play it in that last month, and so these teams all have quite a few games left in their conference schedule. 2-1, Carroll, Tri-Central, and Sheridan, and then 2-2, Delphi, Taylor, Eastern, and Clinton Prairie all behind them. So a lot more games to be played in the Hoosier Heartland Conference. But taking a look right now, what are your thoughts?
Well, I kind of go back to what Don Helmick said a couple of weeks ago, and how a team like Clinton Central is going to have to win out, just because Rossville sitting at 5-0, zero in the loss column, and just looking at the teams that they have remaining and their past records, that's kind of the thing that sticks out to me. But I would be remiss if there weren't a date or two on my calendar that I'm not circling. For example, you said that January 25th is the day of the girls' draw. January 23rd, that is the day that Rossville girls head to Michigan Town to play the Bulldogs, and I believe that's a boy-girl doubleheader that night, too.
Yeah.
So that one, toward the end of the season, right before the sectional draw, is definitely going to be one that I'm going to circle. And then you've got, on January 27th, that very next week for Clinton Central, they are playing Sheridan at home. So you've got some big games for the Bulldogs late in the season, kind of that Big Ten schedule, if you will, as opposed to those early conference games, the SEC schedule, too. And that's all I'm going to say on that.
Yeah, good points there. So Rossville still undefeated, but like you said, Clinton Central and Carroll, the two teams we've talked about the most of competing with the Hornets in that conference. But look at a team like Tri-Central, who is played really well against Clinton Central and has played them close a couple of times. They've got a lot of big games still left to come, games against Rossville, games against Carroll. So they could even play their way into contention here in the Hoosier Heartland. So still a lot of good games left, and we'll be covering some of them on Hoosierland TV.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of Tri-Central, they're going to be at Rossville for their boy-girl doubleheader on January 16th. So a lot of big games coming up in January, and like you said, we've only got 22 days, 3 weeks until sectional draw, which just is going to boggle a lot of people's minds, because it's like, man, I just got Christmas dealt with. Now we got to worry about the sectional draw and the impending snowstorm that you know is going to hit. It exactly. Always seems every year.
Every year it comes. So we have a fun guest coming up for quarter number four. We're going to be talking with Ethan Hansen of the Journal and Courier, get his thoughts on how everything is shaping up for the last couple months of the basketball season, and talk about some of our area teams. That's coming up quarter number four of Inside the Huddle. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Healthy Communities and Winsky Brothers.
If you're from Clinton County, you probably already know about Winsky Brothers' incredible customer service. But Winsky's is also eager to serve Lebanon, Tipton, Lafayette, and beyond. Winsky Brothers offers industrial hauling and waste removal, roll-offs, and new and used steel sales. And with Winsky's recent improvements, dropping off metal for recycling is easier than ever and puts more dollars back in your wallet. Winsky Brothers, the easy solution for industrial waste removal and metal recycling. Visit WinskyBrothers.com or find them on Facebook.
At Healthy Communities of Clinton County, we are dedicated to reducing the risk factors that lead to chronic disease. At Healthy Communities, we offer general health programs like insurance navigation, healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco and vaping cessation. We help pregnant women to ensure healthy birth outcomes. We have a variety of recovery services at our Trinity Hope Center, including peer recovery coaching, support groups, and pro-social activities. To learn more on how we can help you make the healthy choice the easy choice, call 765-659-6063 or visit HealthyClintonCounty.org.
Some journeys start small, with small paws and big purpose. Every great partnership begins with the first step.
Bella, let's go.
You don't just raise a puppy, you raise a future. Become a Dog's Ink puppy raiser. Give a dog a purpose, give someone hope.
Learn more at dogsinc.org.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it, right at your fingertips. We have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and HoosierLandTV.com archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representatives. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
Back once again, fourth quarter Inside the Huddle. Kyle Etherington and Sam Wirt joining you in studio. Fresh back from my travels abroad to the West Coast and then to the East Coast and then to the Northeast. And then finally that last connecting flight into Indianapolis International Airport. Been talking a lot about our local athletes today. One other special piece of note in terms of basketball from the Ville in the northern part of the county. Raiden Teeley-Hahn, recently the junior, much heralded for his offensive prowess, just accomplished a major milestone as a junior recently, scoring his 1,000th point, joining that very vaunted, very famous Rossville 1,000 point club. And if you get an opportunity, definitely go to Facebook and check out the Rossville Boys basketball page. They do an excellent job of updating their information. Definitely stepping up their game this year, especially with a lot of their graphics and a lot of the photo shoots that the young gentlemen have been able to participate in as well. They've got every single Rossville Hornet 1,000-point scorer listed on the Rossville Boys Facebook page. So definitely take a look at that. Right now, as it stands, according to my most recent statistics, so take those with a grain of salt, if you will, Raiden Teeley-Hahn with 1,006 points at this point in the season, and the all-time leading scorer in Rossville history, of course, Mickey McGill with 1,813. So Sam, definitely not to talk about individual accomplishments too much, but the countdown is on, I would say, for Braden Teeley-Hahn and his rendezvous with history, if you will.
It definitely is, and we had a great opportunity to cover all the things that Jake McGraw did last year with Clinton Prairie. And
Try
2 points away from 2000.
And Braden Tilley-Hahn has a great opportunity. Now going to get to our guest, and it is Ethan Hansen, sports reporter with the Journal and Courier. Does a great job covering all of our local area sports in the Lafayette area. Ethan, how are you doing today?
Doing great, man. Great to be on the show. Loved your call from the championship game. It was pretty epic stuff.
It was some epic stuff, and I joke, you whenever you and I are at the same game, it's always something crazy that happens. I remember opening day for boys high school basketball, and Braden Tilley-Hahn goes off for a school record 52 points, and we got to cover that together. And then, of course, Rossville beating Taylor in that championship game on a 3-point buzzer beater by Nolan Britt.
Yeah, I mean, hey, when I see you and you see me, you know it's going to be fireworks, and we have a habit of picking the good ones, yeah. And I'm excited to get into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I wanted to kind of just get your thoughts, your perspective on some of the top area teams. We'll start by talking about girls basketball because the sectional draw is coming up in just under 3 weeks, and we've had some great teams in the area. But we look at the Hoosier Heartland Conference, and Rossville currently leading that one 5-0, but Clinton Central, Carroll and Tri-Central, they're all right there with them as well. So when you look at some of those teams, what do you see and how do you see this kind of coming down to the wire?
See, I think Rossville is clearly the team beat, as you've seen. I mean, just the amount of depth that, you know, they have with Ava Burkle, who's having a big season, her ability to rebound. But what I've been so amazed with has just been, you know, Coach Jennifer Jacoby's ability to bring in some of these new, fresh kids. You know, Mallory O'Brien, who was originally at Frankfurt but moved to the area, having a big year, averaging 11.5 points per game. Her ability to stretch the floor as a shooter. Addie Gorbett, who's a power forward. We know her from softball fame, but showing her ability as an athlete as well. So I really like, Rossville's depth, but then, you know, you look at a team like Carroll, and, they're a great defensive team as well. I'm excited to see what happens if Rossville and Carroll get paired together.
Yeah, that would be another great game in the sectional. Of course, they played in the sectional final last year, and Carroll got the win, and so Rossville looking to get a little bit of revenge. Ethan, you cover so many games with the Journal and Courier as a sports reporter. I always see you at different games across the area almost every day. So you've had so many games this year. What have been some of your favorite experiences, favorite games to cover this year?
Well, I mean, like you mentioned, that 52-point game by Braden Tilley-Hahn definitely was up there with just what he was able to show from game one with, his ability to not just shoot the three, but people forget he also had a double-double in that game as well. Affected the game with his 10 rebounds. As far as, like, the big game, though, that I covered here, at least for football, was going up to Concord and watching Lafayette Jeff unfortunately fall on the road 47-45 in that 5A regional championship. That was won on a 48-yard field goal. So there's that. And then we had the big game with as you mentioned, you know, the game-winning three-pointer happening on the 19th year anniversary, too. So, you know, it was good stuff, and we've had a great season to cover. You know, it was pretty crazy to see the fact that Nolan Britt, a guy that didn't even play until the final 2 seconds of that game, turns around, hits the game-winning three-pointer, and we find out it also happened on his parents' 19th year anniversary. So, you know, plenty of good stuff, and those have definitely been my big games to cover so far.
There you go, and I remember talking about that Lafayette Jeff Concord game. It was a kind of a crazy finish in that one. But Ethan, you do a great job of, you know, getting the little interesting facts and the behind the scenes of a story. So when you're looking at writing an article about a game, how do you go about finding all those great facts and those great storylines that play into a game?
You know, Todd, the one thing I always tell people is, you know, be there an hour early, because that's the time you're going to talk to coaches. That's when you're going to be able to get a chance to talk to players, talk to parents, and that's when you really get a chance to do your homework and fill in and really find the human interest story behind what makes the game special. And sometimes you get lucky on social media as well. As soon as I finished posting the video on Nolan Britt's three-pointer, I find about the anniversary from his parents, and sure enough, they were nice enough to, you know, discuss that with me. But I would definitely say be an hour early, ask plenty of questions, because you never know what you're going to find, and sometimes there's a bigger story beyond the gate.
Ethan, thank you so much for joining us today on the program. When it comes to getting there early and being active, I think you are probably one of the more active sports reporters, because we kind of think of the old adage of the typewriter and sitting there typing out the notes and doing it in a calm, you know, very stoic type of way. But just looking at your social media posts, over 30,000 social media posts, you cover Purdue women's basketball, which I'll definitely ask you about in my next question. And you are an occasional national anthem singer as well. So I guess my question is, when do you sleep? Because when...
Oh, I get that question asked all the time.
Yeah.
And I get plenty of sleep. That's what Sundays are for. And good news about being on the East Coast, unlike the West Coast where I'm from, is NFL football doesn't start until 1 p.m. So I get my sleep on Sundays.
I'm still trying to deal with the effects of the time change myself just after a couple of days. The wonderful thing that I saw from the Nolan Britt shot is you were right on the court in the midst of that celebration. Kind of describe the atmosphere, but also, in my opinion, the sheer terror of being in that Rossville celebration on the floor that not only extended from one end of the court, it went all the way to the other end of the court and up against a wall. Did you fear for your life or anything like that? I mean, kind of describe being in the middle of all that.
Well, I always like to be spatially aware, so I always have this ability of you know, getting your hand high and shooting down to get the video, for one. But two, making sure that you're on the outside, be in the thick of it, but not be too much into it, and always having an escape route. The thing with basketball is it's not like football where you have a game-winning field goal or a game-winning touchdown, and all of a sudden it's like 100 people plus the fans plus the parents are on the field, and that's when you really are like in trouble. So basketball, a little bit easier to manage, but, you know, always have an exit strategy.
Well, also along those lines, Purdue women's basketball you cover, Madison Leydenzay, a few three-pointers away from the all-time leading position in terms of Lady Boilermaker three-point history, and you're from the West Coast. So how does one go about living in California and ending up in Indiana covering our local sports and Purdue women's basketball? Kind of give us the two-minute synopsis of how you ended up here and how can kids get involved in sports journalism?
Well, I paid my dues in this great place called Redding, California, that was home to some amazing girls basketball players themselves. That was where I originally started in the USA Today network. And then to backtrack a little bit, I started my life as a freelancer, and I freelanced for 4 years. It was hard, but, you know, I always, you know, made sure to meet whoever the local high school reporter was and, you know, be active, shake my hand, and I told him, you know what, whenever they need somebody to go out to a game, I'd go. And one day I got that magical call and heard that somebody had canceled at last second. Could I go to a game? It was actually a baseball game between Burbank and Burroughs in Southern California. Did the job, hit my deadline, and about almost a decade later, here I am. And my encouragement to kids is meet the local sports reporters, be active, and when the opportunity comes, be ready to answer your phone and say yes.
Absolutely. It's that's a great point. And I love all the work that you do. And last year, we've had so many great teams in the area. I think back to last March when Clinton Prairie boys basketball went all the way down to Gainbridge Fieldhouse. And looking at boys basketball, still a few months left in the regular season before we get to sectional play that first week of March. Who are the teams that you see that might have a chance to kind of recreate that run that Clinton Prairie went on?
Well, I would definitely say that Rossville team for one, just because you've got Aiden Schomburg who's you know playing a big role as well, transfer from Harrison. But I would never ever count out Clinton Prairie. You know, as the saying goes, in order to beat him, you got to knock him out. And Nick Curtin, a great scorer. That Clinton Prairie team still has plenty of talent, but I would say the team to pay attention to who's kind of become that sleeper is Frontier. That is a very, very deep sectional, coached by Trent Fegley. They've got Wyatt Weiss, Chase Winkler, who's a great defender, who you saw, you know, play great defense against Thiele Hunt in that second half when they played each other during the regular season. You know, but Carroll's very deep as well. I mean, that 1A sectional, you've got about, you know, four to five different teams, including Pioneer, that could potentially win it. I would still say there isn't a clear favorite per se, but if I was to put, you know, my betting money on a team to make that deep run and have that special run, I would definitely say Rossville right now.
Yeah, so many great players in the area, and like you said, this sectional is very deep, and a lot of teams that could make a run. Well, Ethan, I'm sure you've got some games to cover today, some articles to write, so we look forward to seeing you some more times throughout the season. We appreciate all that you do covering local area sports, and we always love seeing some of your articles. So if you haven't checked out some of your Ethan Hansen's work, you can check it out at Journal and Courier. He does some great work, and follow him on X at Ethan Hansen, also on Instagram. So, Ethan, we really appreciate you coming on the show and joining us and talking some basketball.
Yes, sir. Hey, great show, guys. Thank you so much for having me on, and shout out to the entire Hoosier Heartland Conference and to Carroll County. Y'all make life special here.
All right, we appreciate it. That's Ethan Hansen, the sports reporter for the Journal and Courier. That will do it for this edition of Inside the Huddle. Thanks for joining us on Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Healthy Communities and Winsky Brothers. Remember, tonight, 8 o'clock, we've got the Rossville girls taking on Pioneer in the Indiana Kitchen Holiday Classic Championship game. Tune in HoosierlandTV.com at 8 o'clock. Myself and Kyle will be on the call. Don't miss any of the action. And then next week, doubleheader, Delphi-Carroll rivalry matchup for a big Hoosier Heartland Conference game. Join us on Friday for that. More info to come. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Thanks for joining us. For Kyle Etherington, I'm Sam Wirt, saying so long, everybody.